from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hey, I'm Bill DeYoung. This is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst Arts section. You figured that one out. Thanks so much for joining us today. Maureen McDowell is in the room with us today, and she is the founder and executive director of Keep St. Pete Lit. Hello, Maureen.
Hello, Bill.
There she is. And big anniversary, 10 years for Keep St. Pete Lit.
Yes, August 29th was our 10th anniversary.
Oh, it was the Kerouac was on the road. You had people riding bikes and jumping through Fleming hoops, reading on
you
the
You know, 10 years
road.
Ago, the art scene in St. Pete was a little bit different. So we did a citywide reading kickoff party of Jack Kerouac's On the Road at the Flamingo Bar.
And if
you have ever been to the Flamingo Bar, you know.
The smoky ambiance.
Very similar to kind of the Emerald as a staple of probably a good place to end the night.
Oh, so you just did it in the Flamingo.
We did it in the Flamingo
I thought
bar.
Maybe you. I thought it was citywide that you were,
no,
you know.
Well, we started the kickoff party there, and then we alternated nights there and Kawa Coffee.
Keep St. Pete Lit is, you basically, to sum it up in a few words, you said that when you started this nonprofit, it was you wanted to build a literary community.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of become still the sort of part of the manifesto.
Yes.
Tell the folks at home here about Keep St. Pete Lit. Let's describe exactly what it is and what you do, and then we'll talk about some of the individual components.
Exactly.
Exactly. Specifically.
Specifically.
Precisely.
Okay.
All of those things. See, she's very word oriented.
Well, Keep St. Pete Lit started because I grew up here. Oh.
Oh, it's all right.
Oh, okay.
It's that kind of podcast.
It's the president. The president wants to.
Yes, he says, no, turn Maureen off. We don't want to hear from her.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. It's that kind of podcast. We just forget to turn the phones off.
Okay.
Sometime.
Yeah. So I'm born and raised here.
Yeah.
And I had spent some time in Asheville, North Carolina, studying pottery, which did not last, Asheville or pottery. And I had moved back here in 2002. I had realized I'd always written, and I realized that I was a poet, and I was looking for a literary community. And there was this bookstore that this woman, Irene Pavis, owned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not remembering it's not Back in the Day books. I can't remember.
And it wasn't Wilson's.
It wasn't Wilson's,
right.
But it was this lovely space, and she would do, it'll come to me while I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing a poetry open mic there. And then there was a group called the Four Poets that were doing an open mic also, which is more spoken word based.
Why is it like-minded people who are into, say, spoken word or into poetry, you know, are drawn together? And why do they, you know, feel compelled? I guess that's the word, compelled to share what they do. What do you get out of that unity with other people?
Well, I think, you know, I just heard something about what brings people happiness, and there's three components, and one of the major components is community. And and also people that live long lives tend to have strong relationships with others. I think we are social creatures. Well, some of us are more introverted, but that's a whole other tangent, which we both share.
Yeah, it's the other conversation.
Yeah, but I think it's just wanting to share your words with people. I mean, if you're just writing to yourself, that's journal writing, but you want to have an audience. You want to share your work. You want to see how a poem lands with an audience.
So when you came back here and you had started, I guess, journaling around that time?
I've always journaled.
Always, okay.
Always journaled pretty much. But in the bookstore, I forgot, the name of it was Book Lovers Cafe.
There it is.
And it's where the 2D restaurant is. Is it 3D, 2D? It used to be Soiree. It's in that space, yeah. It used to be in that space. So
you found a home. I mean, you found.
I found a home
here in weird little St. Petersburg,
yeah.
Which is still pretty weird. Then, people are doing things that I like.
And it was a small community. I mean, it is still a small community. And then, I wasn't getting my needs met as a reader and writer. And I mean, we had the Times Festival of Reading, but that was like once a year. And the Writers in Paradise wasn't really on my radar for Eckerd.
Yeah.
And I just was approached by the Morian Arts Center because I had done my second book release party there in 2011. I had started Summer Folk Press, which was a small publishing house. We did two of my books and my friend Mark Haber's book.
Mm-hmm.
He's now with Coffee House Press, and is a New York Times been written up in the New York Times. So it was really exciting.
So they approached you and...
They approached me about doing an event, bringing together all kinds of poets and writers. And Peter Mikey was involved. Mm-hmm. There was people that were self-published. There were people that were traditionally published. There was people that were spoken word, people that sang poetry. And Peter Mikey's wife, Jeannie, rest in peace, she mm-hmm. approached me and said, you know, this feels like an art event. It doesn't feel like a literary event. And I had a background in art, and the idea for Keep St. Pelet was born.
There are people who, I think, without reading, and when I'm talking about writing yet, but without reading, without reading, I'm saying this wrong, but I'll probably cut this part out and make myself sound more intelligent. If they didn't have things, it's a big part of who they are, of how they get through life, get through the world.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have a community. So you have a book club also in Keep St. Pelet. That's one
club.
Of the components.
Yeah, it's funny. We have women that have been coming like for 8 years, right, religiously that have come. It started at the MFA, the Museum of Fine Arts.
Yeah.
We were there for about 5 years, and then we moved to the Studio 620, and now we're at the Factory St. Pete, and we might move somewhere else. And that's another component of Keep St. Pelet. We're a pop-up.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have one location because I didn't want to have the overhead of having rent. So...
Well, what I was going to say is that when you start attracting writers, then that kind of ups the ante of what you're doing. In other words, we are creating a literary community because suddenly all these people are aware of each other.
People I have had, I am not exaggerating, probably a dozen people tell me that they moved here because they saw that Keep St. Pelet was here.
Ooh, that's a nice
Because
thing.
They would Google, they were thinking of the area.
Yeah.
And they were thinking of Florida. And a lot of them have come because they have family in the area or their spouse has family in the area, and they Googled literary organizations in the area and they saw Keep St. Pelet and they're like, this is a place I'd want to live in. It's really wild. Some of them have ended up teaching with us. So that's pretty exciting.
So where do you do the classes? You don't have you're a pop-up. So
yeah.
And you say, oh, come on, we're going to meet it behind Publix, or what do you do?
No, the 7-Eleven, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm not called you Bob. Excuse me.
That's all right. I've been called worse.
That's my dad's
We've only
nickname.
Known each other for, what, 10 years?
No, my father just passed away, and that was his nickname. I so I think he's jumping in. Mm. It's like, we don't do things behind the 7-Eleven, Maureen.
You're doing something on the 19th, aren't you?
Yes, we are doing an ekphrastic writing workshop inspired by Florida Crafts Arts Ghost Stories exhibit, which was curated by Catherine Bergman,
mm-hmm.
who's a curator at Dunedin Fine Arts Center. So ekphrastic writing is writing about art. So we're going to meet on the 19th at Florida Craft Art at 6 p.m., and then the writers are going to pick out a piece of artwork to write about, and then we'll meet back on October 5th, two weeks later, for them to perform their writing in front of the art, in front of an audience.
How cool is that?
I know. We loved it. We're going to partner with the Dolly in the new year. We love partnering with art and writing and reading.
I think they Keep St. Pete Lit and these programs they do have become kind of an integral part of – it sounds – haughty, integral part of the arts community. It's kind of interwoven with as you say, the arts and the artists and the facilities. Can this town ever get too big to support what you do? Do you ever think about that?
What do you mean? Like too many people?
Like too many, like 25-story buildings and too many people who don't give a shit anymore about this kind of thing.
So I was thinking about it. Actually, since COVID, it's been really hard for our organization to the point, I'll be honest, I've thought, is this it? Is this over? Can we continue to sustain this?
Oh, well, let's talk about that for a minute. But you sound very optimistic today.
Okay. Well, in full disclosure, you had asked me a couple weeks ago to be on this podcast, and I was having kind of a moment of doubt. I was like, I don't know if I can really even talk about this. It's our 10th year. But I did realize recently that I have to kind of look at it almost like we're at the beginning again, because there's new people here. So many new people have moved here. The demographics have shifted. The art community shifted. And my punk rock self needs to kind of just look at it as, all right, get scrappy again.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 years, you maybe can get a little complacent.
A little complacent, sure.
Or yep. even like, you know, a little haughty, as you would say. Like, well, everyone knows who we are. I don't have to, like, you know.
Oh, and that, you know, one rule of journalism among many is don't assume anything.
Yeah, well, I'm learning this.
Yeah, you don't assume that people understand.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand that people know about the vintage St. Pete book series because not all of them do.
Yes.
So you got to keep going out there and hustling.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I was saying was, you know, as this city grows, and I'm sure we're kind of in agreement that, we're not sure that it's really growing in exactly the right way, but that's another story for another day.
Yes.
You know, is a small organization, it's like a grassroots organization. Is that the sort of thing that will get steamrolled over if we become Austin?
Well, to be honest, like if we were just to focus as an art organization and not focus on our youth outreach, especially with kids that are in lower economic status, I don't know what you call it. Circumstances.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the youth programs.
Not, yeah. We would not have been able to survive because there's not enough philanthropic base to support what we're doing in competition with, there's 11,000 other nonprofits in the area. Mm-hmm. And also, you're photographing me right now. So it's
come
hard
on,
for me
smile
to
for the picture. There
yes.
she is. She looks good. Okay, folks, that's over.
Okay.
Did I mention she's a real introvert,
yeah.
folks?
I was like, what am I doing? Paparazzi.
Well, I'd like to talk about the youth programs, though. That's something
yes.
I wrote down in my copious notes yeah. over here, which take up about half a page. Talk to me about the youth programs. Like, it's just introduction to writing, or is it, you know, don't be an idiot, or journaling your way to a happy life? What do you do, and how do you do it?
Don't be an idiot. Yeah, that would really fly with the
yeah,
Pinellas County School
Board. I failed don't be an idiot at Gibbs High School back in the old days.
Oh my gosh.
We serve
225 kids a week through programs in partnership with the Pinellas County School Board,
mm-hmm.
their 21st Century iClass all over Pinellas County. And then we also just started a partnership at Academy Prep, and we've partnered with them in the past too with writing classes. It's all across the board. We do poetry, memoir, but the goal at the end is we teach kids how to perform their work. And then they learn how to advocate for themselves. Like if you know how to communicate, you can communicate your needs for yourself in jobs. You can communicate
oh, boy.
In city council meetings.
Right.
You can communicate, you know, you can advocate for yourself. And then we finish with the year with, we publish a book. St. Petersburg Press has helped us
mm-hmm.
in the past. An anthology of the children's
oh,
work.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
so
I remember
they're
that.
Published.
Yeah.
And then we also have word book boxes, which are located in locations all in South St. Petersburg, where we have new culturally diverse children's and young adult books.
Who are your instructors? Who are the people who teach these classes?
Well, Sarah Reese Jakonski is one of our major mm-hmm. instructors.
She's a poet as well.
She
yeah.
is a poet
yes.
and very well regarded poet. And then we just brought on Courtney Ross, and she is mm-hmm. a up-and-coming poet in the area who I met through our Poetry Open Mics, and she's teaching at Academy Prep. So it's really – all of our teachers are published poets or they're teaching in the college level.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that's exciting.
I saw on your website something said creative nonfiction, which interested me because I write about mm-hmm. – history, and I've done a little creative nonfiction too. And then there's another thing that says general creativity. And I yeah. thought, well, that's a class I want to take.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? What is that?
General creativity would be just people that are just getting started that want to kind of get their gears going and they don't even really know where to begin. Yeah. So.
See, we don't assume. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You don't assume everybody knows this is how you do it.
No.
Tell me about the Typewriter Talks podcast. You've been doing this for how long?
So Typewriter Talks started during COVID. It was a way to engage when everything was shut down.
Yep.
And I interviewed you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
right.
you interviewed me.
You came on the Catalyst Sessions.
Yeah.
So,
and then
sure.
So I'm going to interview you mm-hmm. after. And yeah, right. This is how it works. So that's Bill.
So it's just people who write and publish. And
yeah. So it's really interesting.
Talk.
We started with it being a Zoom chat. And yeah. as an introvert, I didn't want to be on camera every week, depending on how moody I felt. So.
Right.
The goal always is to try to bring things back to I can do things in my robe. So I moved it onto a podcast.
You can always do your Zoom podcast in a robe.
I could, but
just the way you fold it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
I've become an expert on that,
I
you know.
Know,
in Zoom meetings. Like, oh, look, he's all dressed up. Not
yeah.
Right. Sometimes I wear pants. Not always.
Okay, well, he's wearing pants right now, yeah. just so you know, everyone. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Thank you, Mo. Thank you for that. So Typewriter Talks, you've been doing this for three years.
38. Well, we did 38 episodes, I believe, during COVID, and then we stopped because I was just like, okay, I'm over this. And classes started. We could be in public again. But then I was thinking, you know, I kind of missed this. So I brought it back as a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's actually being heard in like 8 or 9 countries right now.
Wow.
So it's like I'm looking at our audience just based on Spotify, because it's also on Apple. I don't have those numbers. Mm-hmm. But just based on Spotify, I mean, people are listening to it in Brazil, in Mexico, in Sweden.
How
in
cool.
Italy.
How cool.
Yeah. And so what's cool about it is I just have a conversation with writers about their writing process.
Yeah.
And I've actually had writers here locally refer to me to writers that aren't local, and then they're referring their people. So it's just really an exciting project. It's, to me, as a writer, it's like a masterclass for me to interview everyone.
On a personal level, talking about writing process, you've been journaling a long time,
yeah.
And you also write poetry.
Yeah.
I know I've asked you this question in interviews before. What does that do for you? What do you get out of it personally?
Well, the journaling, I try to write 3 pages every day, at least. It's usually more than that. And that is a way for me to process my emotions. Like, if I don't journal, it's almost like I don't exist, because I'm so spacey and I kind of don't really live on this planet. So journaling's a way to, like, for me to, like, ground myself in reality and be like, okay, this is where I'm at and how I'm feeling. Poetry is a whole different medium.
Yeah.
That I never, ever... I didn't really read poetry growing up. So the fact that I kind of had this download when I was 28 that, oh, you're meant to be a poet. I was like, what? I don't know what this means or how to do it. But I really like the musicality of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I like the immediacy of it. I love that because I am very intense and mm-hmm. I can get all this stuff down on one page. But I've also branched out into creative nonfiction. I've got a book of essays about my childhood, mm-hmm. Mending the Nets, that I'm working on right now and sending that out. I've had seven pieces from that published this year out in journals. And then right now I started a book called Dear Pops, writing to my father who just passed away.
Yes.
Kind of letter. It started right before he passed away because we had this huge storm coming, and I wrote a letter. Dear Pops, I know your life's been a hurricane, but can you keep the storm away? I got to help you die. Mm. It was really like, and it was a way for me to kind of process the experience.
I can see
that.
But sure.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it until his year anniversary of him passing away, of just processing our relationship, which was very, very complex.
Before I talk, we're going to close out today by talking about your family a little bit, but I wanted to ask you two quick things. One, do you have any 10th anniversary events planned? Is there a Sunlit festival this year, for example?
No, we're not planning to do Sunlit. As I said, we're kind of in a restructuring phase.
Yeah.
So I think Sunlit is tabled right now for a while, possibly for good. As far as 10th anniversary events, I hadn't had anything planned because it's been a rough year, honestly, as far as fundraising and stuff is gone. So I'm trying to figure out other revenue streams and ways of doing things. We're restructuring our website right now. And so I hadn't really had anything planned. Also, as I mentioned, my dad was sick. So
yeah,
I didn't want to plan anything and be right in the middle of that.
Well, the thing is that you're still there and you still exist.
And still, we're slow and steady wins the race.
There you go. My little tortoise friend. And I have a tortoise. I have a Russian tortoise. His name is George. Yes, we adopted him from the Humane Society. Wherever Colleen Cherry works. I can't remember Colleen. Is it the Humane Society? The SPCA.
Yeah.
Colleen helped me with that. And
oh, good
anyway,
old Colleen. Hi,
that's,
Colleen.
That's my little side story about a tortoise. The other thing is keepstpetlit.org is the website.
Keepstpetlit.org.
So those who would be interested in maybe finding out about the classes or the youth programs or a way to give you a whole bunch of money, would go to keepstpetlit.org.
Yeah.
And we'll all be lit.
Oh, my goodness.
Good times. That was a great segue.
We also have a banned book library in American States.
Oh, that's in my notes. Thank you.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, look at that. She's looking over the table. Yeah, that is so cool. I remember when Avery Anderson was telling me, I guess he kind of curates that with you.
Yeah,
or
it's funny. We took a photo together, and I'm like, you could be my, like, Viking sibling.
Yeah.
Like, we look so alike, our hair, and, like, the gingers are both gingers.
But he does have that sort of Viking thing going on.
It's funny.
That's in
my
the
brethren.
Yeah, your brother in pillaging. And so, but the banned book library is, let's talk about that. It's in the lobby of American Stage.
It is in the lobby of American Stage, and we need donations because it's looking really sparse right now. And we have a list that you can buy. Go on our website online. You can buy books through Tombolo.
Through Tombolo, yeah.
And so we are needing more books for the Banned Book Library, because just because the banned book reality is no longer in the news, it's still very much alive. We also are collecting books for the Banned Book Library that Nomad Art Bus has at their Justice Studio, too. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. If you want to donate, you can buy books and they go right into the library and people can read them and return them or keep them and spread the word to other people.
I think it's just so admirable that people like you, and there are a lot of people who do what you do, and others giving back to the community. You don't have to.
I know. I wake up sometimes and I'm like, why?
Well,
you don't have to do this.
Well, I think I'm going to support you 100%
here. But I am
here.
compelled to do it.
That's what I was going to say.
I love St. Pete. I love my community. I mean, reading and writing saved my life. My rest in peace father, he was an alcoholic. And I come from a large family of addicts. It's very tricky. And reading and writing saved my life. Like, that's how I got out of the environment that I was in. I picked up a book. And then I processed my emotions through writing. So I know how important it is. It saves lives.
Well, here's an awkward segue then.
You were
born in St. Petersburg.
I was.
As was I. And your grandfather, drum roll please, was the enigma of Captain Wilson Hubbard.
Enigma, yes.
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 The fabulous Captain Wilson Hubbard, who ran Hubbard's Pier over there in Paso Grill for years, and then moved to Johns Pass, started Hubbard's Pier over there. And anyway, if you read the St. Pete Catalyst, maybe there was a story about him not long ago.
Who wrote that story?
Just some guy. We threw him in. He sucked.
Oh,
he was terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, Captain Hubbard, a lot of you may remember, was a very colorful character here on the beaches for many, many years. Came, as Maureen well knows, and she's going to nod as soon as I say this, from a family of carnies.
Yep. You're not supposed to say that unless you're actually, I was corrected. Someone goes, that's a slang term. And I'm like, well, I come from carnies.
So. Carnival people?
Yeah, I know. Really?
Yeah.
Carnies is great.
His parents said, if the story is, as I remember it off the top of my head, was that his parents were carnival people. He was born on the road. And I think when he was a young man, 10 or 11 or something, they settled in Paso Grill. Something like that?
Winter in Florida, and then the Great Depression hit, and then they settled on Paso Grill.
And it's like, the carnival's not happening.
Yeah.
We got to do something else.
So let's get people on fishing boats and bring them to see dolphins.
Yeah. Let's yeah.
You know, another funny story, my Uncle Mark started Hubbard's Sea Adventure, which was a dolphin watching boat, in 1991. And my grandfather laughed at him. He goes, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And how many dolphin watching boats do we have now?
Mark is still the owner, and Dylan is the captain.
And my other cousin Garrett is a captain on the boats. Like, it's definitely a generational family business.
So, folks, if you've been out there in Johns Pass and you've been out there on the beach and you see the name Hubbard, it's always been associated with boats and with fishing.
And seafood.
And seafood, the Friendly Fisherman Restaurant.
Yeah.
Is it still in your family? I can't remember.
Yes, it is. We don't currently own the building, unfortunately. We still own the business. But my father actually built the building of the Friendly Fisherman Restaurant, and he was a master carpenter. And my mother ran it for 30 years.
Your mother is Kathleen McDowell.
My mother is Kathleen
McDowell.
I'm
so happy to say she's a friend of mine.
She made me herself. That's what she says.
And a lovely human being.
Yes.
So anyway, Maureen, I think we've just about pulled it into the dock here.
Oh,
and
darn, Bill. There's so much more to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
No,
let's go.
It's all good. Why don't you tell me about your book that's coming
out? Oh, we'll do that when we're done with the podcast, because the folks who are listening to this are already sick of hearing about it.
Oh.
It's so good to see you. It's been a while.
It's so good to see you, too.
And congratulations on 10 years.
Yes, here's to 10 more.
Yeah, we'll see you in here before the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, I'll scrap it together and punk rock it for another 10 years.
I love how you use punk rock like a verb.
It's the only way to do it.
You always do that, man. I'm going to punk rock it.
It's the only way to do it.
Maureen McDowell, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Bill.
From stpetecatalyst.com.